Isaiah 29 and 13, Hebrews 6 and 9. Somebody say amen. Amen. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. These people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their hearts aren't in it. Because they act like they're worshiping me, but they don't mean it. Somebody say that hurts. Hebrews 6 and 9 says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and the things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Notice this. And be ye not slothful. Look at your neighbor and tell them, don't be lazy. But followers of them who through faith and patience, or through faith and fortitude, inherit the promises. Don't be lazy. You would be following the example of those who had faith and were patient until God kept his promises unto them. I want to talk to you tonight on this thought, averting spiritual complacency during the holidays. Averting spiritual complacency during the holidays. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Complacency is a feeling of quiet pleasure or security, often, notice this, while unaware of some potential dangers. Feelings are something that we all experience, and they are probably one of the greatest proponents or a big part of us making the decisions that we make. One of the greatest influencers of our decision making are our emotions. Many times, it's easy to say that we love God, that we're a believer, that we serve the Lord, that we have a relationship with the Lord, but our actions show otherwise. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and 18, it says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, this is not, tell your neighbor, this is not, this is not one of those feel good holiday messages. Just in case you're wondering. But this is going to be one of those Wednesday night messages that I believe I owe to you as a pastor, if I really am going to be a pastor to a group of people that I love and pray for. It's going to be one of those ones that hopefully over the next 2 weeks you're like, oh, that's what he was talking about. Okay, honey, we're going to church. The writer of Hebrews is telling us to not be lazy, but to keep the faith with fortitude. Fortitude is mental or emotional strength in facing adversity or difficulty. It's having strength mentally and emotionally when there's temptation. It's having courage. It's having endurance. It's having a backbone with perseverance. The holiday season is a busy time. How many would agree with that? Amen. The holiday season should be a wonderful time. If it means that people during this time, give me the microphone. There we go. This time of year, people tend to be a little bit more kind. Thank you, Brother Duar. Generous. Folks that you've not seen or heard from all year long might call you. In fact, I forgot my headpiece came out. People tend to be a little bit more kind. You may even receive a card from them or a phone call from them. You know that this time of year I probably receive a half a dozen phone calls between now and the new year from folks that
that only once a year do we communicate with one another. Folks that maybe I've, churches that I've preached for throughout the years, pastors and missionaries will communicate during this time of year. There's special activities that are associated during this time of year with family and friends and school events and traveling and entertainment, shopping, and it's all conducted in a frantic pace during the holidays. Then there are the Christmas parties, the school assemblies, music recitals, class plays and banquets and company parties. The coworkers on the job are in a hurry. They're making cookies, and maybe you have a neighbor, just maybe you have a neighbor that will bless you with tamales. Something that we all look forward to. But there's opportunity for, here, Pastor, there's opportunity for much distraction. And it can be in a season when the season should be all about Jesus. In a season that's supposed to be a time that we partake, that we have Christians have set aside. We know that we don't need to go through qualifying that. We know that he was not born on December 25th. We know that. We understand that. But it's a season that has been set aside where people of all persuasions are just a little bit more kinder and nicer. And maybe they'll say please and thank you for the first time all year. And listen to Pastor. Just because the song on the radio may sing, "Oh, Holy Night" and "Mary, Did You Know?" it doesn't replace or substitute or justify our need to become preoccupied, distracted, or complacent with our walk with God and our relationship with Him. I want to remind us that we don't need a particular day, month, season to remind us that he was born, that he died, and that he rose again. It ought to be something that beats in our heart, that drives us every day we wake up and we remember that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why don't we do that right now? Why don't we rejoice and be glad in the presence of the Lord? Scripture tells us that therefore we take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or where shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But the scripture says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Somebody say amen. The first point I want to make tonight, if you're taking notes, is your spiritual needs do not diminish during the holiday season. We have a tendency to be more distracted during this time and busy doing stuff. Let's just be real. Busyness is not a spiritual gift. And just because you're busy doesn't mean that you are productive. Think about that. I say it probably once a year during my portion of stewardship week, but the hamster's real busy, but he doesn't go very far except he just spins around in a circle on that wheel or stays in one place, but he's real busy. Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're productive. If the devil can't get you to sin, he'll get you to stay busy. It's during this time that it may be hard for some of us to stay focused and to stay on track during this time of year. That's why Pastor's teaching this tonight. It's because I understand. I've had the privilege of, and it was a privilege to work in retail, during this time of year. And I've had the privilege to be a pastor during this time of year. And can I tell you, it's really no different from my point of view from 5 years ago till now, it's the same thing. It's just a whole lot faster, and there's just a whole more things to get distracted with and get convoluted. When it's supposed to be a season about Him, we get distracted and we begin to look at the things of, what about me? What did I get? What can I get? I need to get that. I gotta hurry. We're putting on a big show when we should be worshiping the One that has come, that has given us life and life more abundantly. If woe unto us if we have worked so hard all year long and then get to this season of time and fall off track. Think about that. You know, it's a whole lot easier to stay on track than it is to get off track and get caught up. Think about that. You ever, those of you that maybe go to the gym and work out, you know, it's a little bit easier to stay in shape than it is to get out of shape. Round is a shape, in case you're wondering. But to get out of shape and then try to get caught up. If there's ever been a time for us to be spiritually alert and ready to pray for others and to give more instead of getting more, it ought to be now. Amen. Bible tells us to be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Brother Ronnie, can you help me with this? I haven't preached with the microphone for so long. I feel like I'm preaching for the first time. If there's ever a time that the enemy will get us distracted, make us feel too busy or too tired, too cold, it's going to rain, my best friend's neighbor's dog may get sick, so I have to be there. We got to get to the program. We have to go out of town. It's family time. We're only having one service, and our walk with God or our spiritual health is diminished. Has a potential to diminish or get convoluted, or it's the only once a year syndrome. It's going to be during this time. There's indicators that each of us have with our walk with God, and I would tell you that your those spiritual indicators ought to be on high alert right now. There ought to be something that rises up within you during this message and over the next couple weeks to say, you know what, am I making it really all about Him, or am I getting it all mixed up and saying it's all about family and friends and what's under the tree, or what I got, what I didn't get? Can I tell you, we need to make sure we avert spiritual complacency during the holidays. If there's ever a time for the enemy to get us deceitful with sin, it would be now. The cares of life don't stop. I want to help us avoid the spiritual laziness during the season. We've lightened the load a little bit here at the church, 2 weeks in a row, one service only. But that should not encourage someone to say, well, you know, I kind of like that, so I'm going to do that going into 2020. Shame, shame, shame on you. We need more church. We need more of God. We need more time in the presence of the Lord. We should never come looking for a way out, but we should be looking for a way in to the presence of the King of Kings. Scripture tells us in 1 Peter 3, or 1 and 13, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice what it says, as obedient children, don't fashion yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. I say that we need to be in the presence of the Lord as much as possible. Don't allow a few presents or gifts, Christmas parties, or out of town guests, or one time a year commitments derail you with your relationship with God. Don't let it sabotage your relationship with the Lord under the guise of it's just the holidays. Because it may feel good, it may sound good. The friends and relatives may approve it. It may be their home. But notice this. But let us ensure that we keep Him at the center
of it all, not just during this season, but at every part and season of our lives. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I like what Paul writes in Colossians 3 and 2. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Second point tonight, it says, or my second point tonight is things to be mindful of during the holiday season. A lot of rhetorical questions. Would God be pleased with your actions, your conversation, with your attitude during this season? Are you becoming selfish during this season? Becoming prideful? Are you becoming greedy? Are you doing what you're doing to be accepted by somebody or validated or liked by whoever you're attempting to show up or appreciate with gifts? And is it hindering your walk with God? As I'm talking tonight about averting spiritual complacency during the holidays, Galatians tells us, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. Who are we serving? See, the writer of Isaiah 29, and what is it, 11 or 12 or 13, our scripture text, he's saying, they say things about me with their lips. They'll talk about me, but their heart is far removed from me. That ought not to be something that the Lord would look down and say that about us and say, well, you say that you love me, but your actions during this season misrepresent what you're saying. Do we get more excited about attending or adjusting our schedule to attend a holiday event outside of church, but just make an excuse to not attend something that'll benefit your soul? Hebrews 10 and 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. David said, I was glad when they said unto me,
amen,
let us go into the house of the Lord. That ought to be our desire tonight. I know you're here, and I know there's a lot of other things that are looking for your attention, your time. I commend you for being here, but I'm talking about tonight, over the next 2 weeks. Let us not get spiritually lazy during this holiday season.
Amen. Amen.
Notice this. Is the holiday function, is the guest list, is the location, is the dress code, is the environment in direct conflict with God or His Word, biblical principles, biblical absolutes, or spiritual convictions? Don't let your guard down just because it's just a friend, family member. Don't become complacent during this holiday season with your walk with God. 1 Peter 1 and 15 says, be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Too often the holidays can cause us to focus on ourselves, what we want, what we think we need, what we wish we had, and how much we have to do or get done. We were sitting at the airport in Turkey, and you folks blessed me some time back with these amazing headphones that I use for my trip. I mean, they're the best ones you could get. They're awesome. And my friend was sitting across from me with his wife, and he was admiring them. And I said, bro, you don't have a pair of these? As much as you travel? And his wife was sitting there. He's like, nah, man. So I begin to testify to him about how great these headphones were in front of his wife. And she looked at him and said, Brock, you have headphones. They're just not like Brother Pinero's, but you had a headphone. And I began to try to sell her on getting him some headphones like you blessed me. But could I tell you, she had a point. He had some headphones and they would work just fine. But it's just us as humanity. We sometimes have a tendency to want what we don't have. Right? You know, some people want somebody else's husband and there's somebody else wants somebody else's bank account and, right? You want what you don't have. But can I tell you, let's not think about what we don't have. Let's remember what we do have. And with what we have with Him, we don't need anything else. And let's remember that, you know what? I gotta work a little bit overtime to get some things done. Well, let me pray a little bit extra so I can get something done in the Spirit. Come on, somebody. I don't want to get complacent during the holidays with my walk with God. What about taking the time to serve others in our church? 1 Peter 4:9 says, use hospitality one to another. You know, for some, this season is very difficult. Not everybody is at the most wonderful time of the year. For some folks, it's a different set of emotions. But Galatians tells us, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto a few men, all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I would say if you're looking to bless somebody right here.
Amen.
If you're looking to give back right here. If you're looking to help somebody out, we got 150, 175 people that call Revival Tabernacle their home. Why not start with them? That's what the writer says. If we have therefore, if you're looking for an opportunity to bless somebody, the scripture is saying, bless somebody unto them who are of the household of faith. Just talking about, let's not get complacent. Not everybody's going to have family coming over. Some folks may be alone. Are you going to go into debt and jeopardize spending your tithing and your offering? Well, for a material item versus being a good steward of what God has entrusted to you, regardless of what you feel like doing or what you think you need to buy. Just saying. Because Mark says, what doeth profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Faithfulness and spiritual fortitude does not back down, quit, or minimize, get placed on hold or mute just because it's the holiday season. Think about that. Faithfulness is faithful regardless of what's going on. Faithfulness, listen to Pastor, if you're taking notes, this is amazing. Faithfulness is always blessed and highly regarded by God. Yeah. I got Bible for that. I'll give it to you in a minute. Do you know that those that are faithful are abundantly blessed? Yeah, they are. I experienced it firsthand over the last week traveling. It just seemed like everywhere I went, I got, maybe they just said they saw this chubby guy from America come in and they just like let me get what all I wanted and getting first in line and didn't have nobody sit next to me on the airplane. But that was all right. I was cool with it. I was happy. I hold the whole road to myself. Let me have it. But you know what I attribute that to the blessings of the Lord. You got 300 people all trying to get on this big plane. And you got me sitting there with the whole road to myself. I call that the blessings of the Lord. You call it what you want. I call that the favor of God. Well, notice this. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall be limited with blessings. Yeah. That's what it says, right? A faithful man shall be limited with blessings, but shall abound with blessings. All the faithful people say amen. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. There shall be an abundance of blessings. You shall have blessings when you Blessed when you go in and blessed when you come out, the scripture said. You're gonna, if you're faithful, you should expect to have some blessings. It should not be a surprise to you if you're faithful for you to receive blessings on top of blessings on top of blessings. Now, if you're not being faithful, then you should be concerned and you should be looking at other people that are faithful and say, how do they do it? Can I tell you how they're doing it? They're being faithful, whether it's the holiday season or not. And so they're able to walk down the path because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But that does mean that the man has to take some steps. That means he's got to put some action. He's got to do something. Faith without works is dead alone. That means that the man has to walk. The faithful man has to walk. He's got to put some action to his faithfulness in order for him to abound with blessings, even during the holiday season. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Faithful means you're steady, you're dependable, you're firm, you're reliable. That means that what you say and what you do match up. Faithfulness is being available when others are not available. It's giving when money may be tight, knowing what the scripture says in Acts 20. It's more blessed to give than to receive. See, spiritual complacency has a tendency to creep in during times like the season that we're in. That's why pastor's talking about this tonight. I've seen far too many people in my years of ministry that for 10, 11 months of the year, they're doing amazing. Then they get complacent. The enemy creeps in at an opportune time, pulls the rug from underneath them, and it's a long, hard road back if they make it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say or condemn to not be faithful. But rather, it rewards, it emphasizes, it promotes, and it supports being faithful. Luke 16 and 10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The concern that I have during this wonderful season that some would argue is the most wonderful time of the year is that some will be deceived by doing, giving, buying, and celebrating, coming and going, but not make time for God. Would you like God with that? Or would you want everything to center around your life with the Lord because of your relationship with the Lord gets stronger during this season versus strained during this season? I'm just waving the flag. I'm just sounding the alarm. I'm just, hey, wake up. Just reminding us that there is a tendency for us to become complacent during this season. I want us to avert spiritual complacency during this time. Now is the time to draw closer to God. Do you know that now, during this season, people will come to church with you? They're more apt to come if you invite them during this season. What an opportune time to invite them to come to church with you this Sunday. It's the season that we have a tendency to put focus on joy and peace, but do we really have joy and peace? Is our joy and our peace centered around, well, I hope I can get what's on sale, or the FedEx man comes before my husband gets home? But the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of our salvation ought to be the greatest joy of all. Isaiah 12 and 2, notice this. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. And he is also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw out of the well or out of the water of salvation. Song says, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. What we're looking for, the musicians come, what we're looking for, I'm looking at Sister Thompson, I forget it's Wednesday night. What we're looking for cannot be found on a website or in a catalog or at a sale. But what we're looking for and what we need and what will sustain us is the relationship that we have with the Lord that says He is my joy, He is my song, He is my Prince of Peace. And I want to make sure in all that I'm doing during this season that I keep Him front and center. Call it happy holiday season greetings, Merry Christmas. You call it whatever you want to call it. But let me tell you, let us not become spiritually complacent during a season that we have set aside that's supposed to be about Him. Because let me tell you, this season is going to come and go, and there's going to be a season of a new year, and there's going to be a season of a new day that is dawning. And we're going to have to remember and say, you know what? I put Him on hold, but He doesn't put His faithfulness or His mercy or His love on hold. It's there for us perpetually every single day. And I don't want Him to look down and say, you know what? You put me on hold, so I'm going to put you on hold right now. But I want Him to say, you know what? You kept me front and center through it all, through all the distractions, all the deceitfulness of sin. And I want to bless you greater. I want to give you some things you've never had before. I want to give you the things that I promised you that haven't happened yet. I want to make sure those things come to fruition. Amen. They draw near me with their mouth as we stand, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me. Don't let a few people that just want to argue about religion frustrate you about your relationship with the Lord during this season. You don't have nothing to prove to them. Don't let a few gifts or rain or fog or weariness cause you to become lazy and complacent. Set an alarm. Say no. Say we're going to come a little bit late because we got to go to church on Sunday first. James 1 and 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You're going to be tempted to skip out on some things. Tempted to entertain yourself with some things that the old man would have enjoyed being entertained with. But you're not who you used to be.
Amen.
You're not who you used to be. Aren't you glad you're not who you used to be? So don't get complacent, because that old man will try to make his move and try to get in during a season that's supposed to be all about Him. So I wonder tonight how many would be honest and transparent and say, you know what, Pastor? I can do better. I want to do better. I need to do better. And let us lift our hands up to the Lord right now during this time. And let us look for an opportunity to purge our hearts, our minds, our spirits of anything that want to creep in and allow us to become complacent in a season like this. God, help me to be a better witness during this time. God, help me, Lord. When I come into contact with people, oh God, that have been away from You, and they come into contact with me, God, and they see that I'm serving You and You're blessing me, Lord. Help me to be ready, God, to testify of the goodness. Help me, oh God. Help me tonight, oh God, to put You first in all that we do, God. But before, God, we get around the piano and sing songs, God, before we sit around and open up gifts, God, help us, Lord, to remember that You're the greatest gift of all, God, and You've given me the greatest gift of hope and salvation and the Holy Ghost tonight, oh God. I wonder if we could come around the altar tonight as a church family. Sister Ellen blesses us with song and begin to just talk to the Lord. Come on. Sometimes this is a stressful time for some folks. Some of you are going to travel. You're going to have an opportunity to witness to others. Some of you are going
to
see folks that are going to be watching for Your light to shine. Hallelujah.
My hallelujah
belongs
to You.
Sing it. My hallelujah, my hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to You.
He deserves it. He deserves it.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
keep you front and center, oh God.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
I'm going to seek you first. I'm not going to get complacent, lazy. Spiritually aloof. But I'm going to use this time to draw closer to you, oh God, than ever before.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Because you deserve it. You deserve it. I don't deserve it.
You deserve it.
Come on, that's it, our team. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place.
You deserve it.
I'm going to pray more during this time.